Nehemiah chapter 3, after that brief commercial break, we'll get to look at the Word of God tonight. The rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem obviously began with the burden of Nehemiah, and he had a desire to know what the state of his homeland was and what was going on back there. And when he heard how things were, he had a burden, as we've looked at in chapter 1, to get to the city and do something about it. God answered his prayer in chapter 2 when the king noticed his countenance was sad. King asked why, and Nehemiah told him why. And of course, then the king offered to give him what was needed to get the walls rebuilt. And that was a great answer to prayer, probably far greater than Nehemiah could have ever imagined would take place. And we saw that there was some opposition to the work. Last week, we noted that there were some who weren't happy. As soon as they heard what Nehemiah was planning to do, they started trying to figure out ways to hinder that and interfere with that. And we'll see those characters throughout the book. Tonight we come to chapter 3, which by all accounts would look like something that's a little bit dry reading. You know, sometimes you read through the Word of God and every page of Scripture, every word of Scripture is inspired by God, and it's important for us to recognize that and realize that. But as we read through our Bibles, sometimes we come to things and say, what is there in that can help me in my Christian life? And we may come to genealogical records, or we may come to some of the things. I'm reading through Leviticus right now and in my Bible reading, and you think of those things, and all I can say when I've finished reading at the end of the day is, praise God, we live in the New Testament, and Christ came and fulfilled all those sacrifices, and we don't have to do that anymore. And that's a great blessing to think about. But we come to Nehemiah chapter 3, and it's really a listing of people. It's a listing of circumstances involved in rebuilding the wall. And at first glance, we may wonder, what is there in there that I can help, that will help me in my walk with God? Well, I trust that we will see some things tonight that will help us in our walk with the Lord and encourage us in our service for Him. Because, again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for us. So we know God gave it for a purpose. And so I entitled the message tonight, Laboring Together for God. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate, they sanctified it, and set up the doors of it. Even unto the tower of Mia, they sanctified it, unto the tower of Hananiel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zachar, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasanab build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Kaz. And next unto them repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshahazabeel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Bana. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their lord. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Pasah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodeiah. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite, and Jadon the Meronothite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, unto the throne of the governor on this side of the river. Next unto him repaired Uziel, the son of Harhaiah, of the goldsmiths. And next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries, and they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. And next unto them repaired Rephaiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. And next unto them repaired Judiah, the son of Haramath, even over against his house. And next unto them repaired Hattush, the son of Hashabniah. Aren't you glad that you're not reading these names? Amen. We should just maybe read them alternately, and we each take a verse or two, and we get through these. But Malchijah, the son of Haram, verse 11 says, And Hashab, the son of Paeth Moab, repaired the other piece and the tower of the furnaces. And next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Halahesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. The valley gate repaired Hanan, the inhabitants of Zenoa, they built it, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. But the dung gate repaired Melchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth Hakkerem. He built it, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shallum, the son of Kolhezeh, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it, and covered it, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Siloah by the king's garden, unto the stairs that go down from the city of David. After him repaired Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, the ruler of the half part of Bethzur, unto the place over against the sepulchres of David, and to the pool that was made unto the house of the mighty. After him repaired the Levites, Rehum, the son of Bani. Next unto him repaired Hashabiah, the ruler of the half part of Keilah, in his part. After him repaired their brethren, Beve, the son of Henadad, the ruler of the half part of Keilah. And next unto him repaired Ezer, the son of Jeshua, the ruler of Mizpah, another piece over against the going up to the armory at the turning of the wall. After him, Barak, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece and the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib the high priest. After him repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, another piece, from the door of the house of Eliashib even to the end of the house of Eliashib. After him repaired the priests, the men of the plain. After him repaired Benjamin. Nice to have a name that's easy to read once in a while. And Hashab over against their house. And after him repaired Azariah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Ananiah, by his house. After him repaired Binui, the son of Henadad, another piece, and the house of Azariah, unto the turning of the wall, even unto the corner. Palal, the son of Uzai, over against the turning of the wall, the tower which lieth out from the king's high house, that was by the court of the prison. After him, Padiah, the son of Parosh. Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, unto the place over against the water gate, toward the east, and toward and the tower that lieth out. After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out, even unto the wall Ophel. From above the horse gate repaired the priests, every one over against his house. After them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. After him repaired Shemaiah, the son of Shechemiah, the keeper of the east gate. After him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zelaph, another piece. After him repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. After him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Nethinims, and of the merchants over against the gate Mithzakad, and to the going up of the corner. And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we have to consider this chapter, a chapter full of names hard for us to pronounce, and Lord, a chapter detailing where people worked. And Lord, again, we would sometimes look at this and think, what is there we can learn from it? But Lord, I pray that we'd be blessed tonight just to the opportunity we have to study the Bible and to know that you have something to speak to our hearts through this evening. And so, Lord, take your word, I pray, and speak to us each one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see a few things from this chapter tonight. I want us to see, first of all, that God had a plan to get the job done. God had a plan to get the job done. Notice that each person or group of people had a section of the wall to work on and to build and to get repaired. They were to work together because it was all one wall. But they each had a piece of the wall that they worked on to get the whole thing done. So they had their own place and they had their own job, but yet they were all working together because it was one wall. Can you imagine what would have happened if Nehemiah had just said, "Okay, everyone get to it and build"? I mean, it could have been complete chaos. Where do you want me to build? How do you want me to build? What do you want me to build with? And everything. But God had a plan to get the job done, to get it done in an orderly fashion. In building the walls, people were placed practically where they could be the most efficient. Notice that it says in the beginning, in verse number 1, it talks about the high priest and his brethren, and they builded the sheep gate and sanctified it. They worked at the sheep gate. The rebuilding began at that sheep gate, interestingly enough. Of course, a little bit of a side note maybe to think about, but the rebuilding of the walls began, at least the record of it, with the sheep gate, where the sheep were brought in to the temple for sacrifice. Isn't that really a reminder of the fact that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away our sin? And He's where we begin our work. Once we receive the Lord, we begin the work for Him and serving Him. But the sheep gate was close to the temple. It was where the priest served, and here that was the location that they were to start. They were to start where they worked, where they served. It was a practical place for them to work. They'd be familiar with that area. They were bringing the sheep in and out of that to take them to the temple for sacrifice. And so they were there regularly. It was a place that they frequented. It was a place that they were very familiar with. You know, I believe that we can learn from this that God equips us with what we need to serve Him where He needs us to be. They were serving where they were regularly to be. It was an ordinary place for them. It was a place of service for them. And God equips us to serve Him where He needs us to be. Yes, there are times that we are placed outside our normal realm. And God wants to use us outside our normal realm. We mentioned this morning about Abraham, and he was put outside his comfort zone, as it were. But many times in our life, God has put us where He has us to work for Him. And He has a job for us to do, and He's put us right where we are, and has given us an opportunity to work, serve Him right where we are, to get the job done. I'm reminded of Paul, who was a tent maker by trade, and how he worked with Aquila and Priscilla in Acts chapter 18. Why? Because they were also tent makers. They were together. They were put together, and they served God together because of their like mind in their job, their secular employment, as we might put it today. There's a ministry for each of us right where we are. Our place of employment, we may not be able to spread the gospel as much light. We may not be able to stand up in the lunchroom and start preaching a sermon. But we have an opportunity to minister to the people that we work with, or that we go to school with, or that live in our community, our neighborhood. We have an opportunity and a responsibility right where we are to do something for God. We could say, well, if I could go over to the other side of the world, I'd love to be a missionary over the other side of the world. That may not be God's plan for you, but God does have a plan for you where you are to minister for Him. In your home, in your workplace, in your school, wherever it may be, God has a place for you to be in service for Him. We notice that some worked very close to their homes. In verse 10, for example, it said that this one worked over against his house. It was right close to home. It was a practical thing from a work standpoint. How'd you like his commute? He rolled out of bed and he was at work. I mean, he was building the wall right outside his own house. That was the place that he was to rebuild the wall. They would be most concerned about the strength of the wall right by their own house, wouldn't they? The wall was security. And if they were to rebuild the wall, who would be most concerned about that particular part of the wall than the people who were close to it? They wanted that part of the wall fortified well because that's where they lived. The safety of their families and their homes would be a priority for them. They could also then engage the help of their family. And that's exactly what happened. Look at verse number 12. It talks about the Shalom, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. Hey, you kids bored today? Come and help me build the wall. We're right here. All you have to do is step out of your bedroom and it's right there. The wall's right there. It was a very practical thing. They could work with alongside their parents to rebuild the wall. They could learn to do the work that needed to be done by working alongside their parents. Again, I think it reminds us of the responsibility that we have towards our family, for our home, for our community, for our neighborhood, to be a witness and a testimony to them of God's grace. The man that was healed of the legion of demons in Mark chapter 5, where did he wanted to be with Jesus. He said, "Lord, let me come with you." You know what Jesus said? No, I want you to go home to your family and tell them what I've done for you. Tell them what great things God has done for you. You know, we realize that there's a mission field right in our own home, as it were, right in our own area. The disciples were to begin where they were, in Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 24, he says, beginning at Jerusalem, preach the gospel. Beginning right where you are, begin to spread the gospel. Sometimes we are more concerned about people on the other side of the world than we are the people that are in our life. I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about people on the other side of the world, because we should be, because the Lord has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But what I'm saying is that God has also placed people in our lives that we can minister to. And we need to be equally as concerned for them as we are for the people around the other side of the world, that we're praying for missionaries to reach with the gospel. There's a statement that I'm sure we all heard at some point in our life, sometimes many times maybe, but charity begins at home. Right where we are. These people, they built the wall at their home. They built the wall right outside their own home. Again, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray and support missionaries around the other side of the world, because we should do that. But we also should not neglect those who are closest to us. And thinking about the opportunity that they had to have their children work alongside them. As Christians who, some of us have younger children or teenage children, isn't it a great blessing to have them work alongside us in the ministry and do things? You say, well, what can they do? Well, they learn to do lots of things along the way. These daughters, I don't know how old they were, but this man had his daughters helping him do the work. He was teaching them, hey, this is God's city. We want to rebuild this city for God. And they were working alongside, learning the work of rebuilding a wall. See, that doesn't sound like a very exciting thing. No, maybe not to us, but it was important to them. But I say it's a great blessing to see children who are involved at church working alongside their parents. Say, maybe it's just because they're told to. Go and do this, go and do this, go and do this. But sometimes, whether it's cleaning the church or whether it's ministering in a Sunday school class, setting up for the Sunday school class, and the children sometimes come along and they're helping do some things. They're learning to do work for the Lord. They're working alongside and picking up those things and learning to serve God alongside their parents. It's a great blessing to me when we go out and visitation, when the weather's a little nicer, we go out and we take the bus out to have children. Say, don't they slow us down going door to door? Well, kind of, maybe they do in some ways. But to me, I think it's a huge blessing to watch children walking up the street with their parents and helping give the gospel out. That's exciting to me. That's a wonderful thing to see. And here were these people rebuilding this wall, and alongside them were their children helping to build the walls of the city. And so God had a plan to rebuild the walls. See, what can we learn from a chapter full of names of people we don't know, don't know how to pronounce, lived in a thousands of years ago? What can we learn from that? We can learn that God has a plan. And He has a plan for us too. He has a plan to use us right where we are. He has a plan to use us where we're going to be anyway, like the priests, and right where we are, like those who rebuilt the walls by their home. We also recognize in this chapter that God's work involves a variety of people. Now, we got a little caught up with the names, I know I did, trying to pronounce them all tonight. But did you see all the different types of people that were mentioned in this chapter? They weren't stonemasons by trade. I don't know that it says that about any of them. They weren't wall builders. That wasn't their job. They did all kinds of different things. But they came together to work on the wall. The priests, including the high priest, are mentioned in verse number 1. We might say the clergy did their part, right? They did their thing. They worked on the wall. It was a practical thing, but they were involved in doing that. It was appropriate that the spiritual leaders set the example to do their share of the work. That they should be involved in that process of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Someone said last summer when the roof was being done here, they said, well, I've never seen a pastor on a roof before. I was just hoping they weren't going to say, I've never seen a pastor fall off the roof before. You're the first one. But, you know, I felt like I wanted to be a part of that. That made sense. I'm here. I want it to get done. I was glad to be a part of that. Jesus is our example, isn't he? About getting our hands dirty and getting the job done. What needs to be done, it needs to be done. And it doesn't matter who does it, we all have a part in that. Jesus said, if I have done this for you in washing your feet, you ought to also do it through other people. We need to get our hands dirty, as it were, get the job done. God's work involved, of course, the ministers of that day, the priests, the high priest. But also look at verse 8, verse 31, verse 32. It talks about another different kind of people. It talks about goldsmiths. Now, goldsmithing is a pretty fine-tuned job. I have a friend who is a jeweler, and he repairs jewelry. And I was in there just this past week to pick up some jewelry that he'd repaired for my brother and sister-in-law. But I see him with his little thing on sometimes, working on stuff back in the back, fixing jewelry. I don't know exactly what these goldsmiths did, but I can tell you one thing. They weren't used to setting stones in a wall. They were used to probably setting stones in fancy little jewelry pieces. But they worked together to build the wall. They were working on the wall. They were goldsmiths. It may be that their hands ended up a little bit rough and blistered, and it might have interfered with their fine work of being a goldsmith, but they said, hey, we're going to be involved in building the wall. There was the son of the apothecaries in verse number 8. We may say that he was made perfume and made pharmaceutical stuff, as we might say today, in verse number 8, the son of one of the apothecaries. But what was he doing? He was building the wall. See, that's not his job. No, that's not his job, but he said there's a job to be done for God, and I'm going to be involved in doing that. Now, by the way, it might have been kind of handy to have somebody around like that, because I'm sure that they probably hit the wrong nail sometimes too when they were rebuilding the wall. Nice and handy to have somebody around who can give some balm to kind of help cure that situation. Maybe some painkillers or some Tylenol back then, whatever the case might be. But they were involved in that. They were the rulers in verses 9 and 12 and 16 and 17 and 18. They weren't too proud to roll up their sleeves and get the job done. They didn't say, this work is below us. We delegate to other people. No, they said, hey, we're going to work together on the wall. We're going to work together to get this job done. Again, verse 12 is speaking about that ruler with his daughters. It wasn't just a man's work. The girls were involved. The ladies were involved. There was others involved. And as we already mentioned, children having their part in rebuilding the wall. The Levites in verse 17 are mentioned. Verse 32 talks about the merchants, those shopkeepers we might call them. They owned the store, but they took time off their work to rebuild the walls and get involved in the work that Nehemiah had set forth, that God had called them to do. You know that we're all different people and all have different kinds of talents and different abilities. But God calls us as a church to work together. Doesn't matter whether we're goldsmiths or whether we are apothecaries or whether we are rulers or whether we are children. God says, I've got a job for you to do. And I want you all to be involved. We may have areas where we would like to work and things that we would like to do, but are we willing to do just whatever needs to be done? I'm sure a lot of these people are like, building a wall really isn't what I had in mind. But they were willing to get involved in what needed to be done. You know, I loved many days last year when we first moved into the building here, when we'd have work days and there'd be people just busy doing all kinds of things. And sometimes you looked around and you thought, this is probably far from what they would normally do with their Saturday. It's probably completely different what they do Monday to Friday. But what a blessing to see people just busily involved in doing what needed to be done. To get it done, to get the building usable for God and to make improvements. It was such a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. There are some times when we come and we say, I don't feel qualified. I've never done that before. I don't know how to do that. But I'll give it a try. And the work gets done because people are willing to give it a try. People are willing to be involved. And of course, how much more even than the physical is what we talked about, work days and so on. Think about the spiritual application to that. There's so much that can be done and needs to be done. There's Sunday school classes to teach, and there's offering plates to pass and bulletins to pass out, and there's you know, church areas to clean, and there's all kinds of different areas of involvement, and there's songs to be sung and music to be played, and there's all kinds of different things, and God hasn't equipped us all the same way. God has equipped us completely differently. There's things that some of you do that I wouldn't have a clue how to do it. But we work together to get the job done. We may be working on a different piece of the wall, but we're working together to get the wall built. We're working together to get the work done. And God has said, don't say, I'm not of the hand, therefore I'm not of the body. He doesn't say, you know, I'm not the nose, then, you know, I'm not of the body. He says, God has put you in the church as it has pleased Him. That there should be no lack. We work together. We work as a unit, like a body, to get the work done, to bring glory and praise and honor to God. The 1 Corinthians chapter 12 deals much with that, and we won't take the time to read it this evening, but it's just a beautiful picture of the church working together to get the job done. And when I read this chapter that we just read before us tonight, I can't help but think all these different talents, these different abilities, these different places in life, from young to old, and they all were involved in building the wall. And that's the job that needed to be done, was building the wall. And I think about ourselves and how God wants us all to be involved. And He doesn't say, well, you know, some people say, well, I can't do what so-and-so did. Well, God doesn't necessarily expect you to do what they do, but you do what you can do. You can be involved in the work and in the process. But be willing to do what needs to be done. That's what these people were. They were willing to do what needed to be done. So we see that God had a plan. His plan involved people of all kinds working together to get that job done. But I'd like us also to see that God knows our labors for Him. Do you realize that these words that we read tonight are a record that God inspired to be written down? This just wasn't just what Nehemiah said. Oh, I got to remember to write this down, that those goldsmiths did this and these did this and these. No, this is what God inspired to be recorded and written down. And for all of eternity, this book is there from the day that it was penned with these people's names and what they did to help with rebuilding the wall. God knew what those people were doing. He could see exactly what these people were doing. He knew where they were serving. It mentions specific places. It mentions the various gates that they worked near. It mentions some working near a corner. It mentions some working near, you know, different things. And we need to realize tonight that God notices where we are serving. He notices what we are doing for Him. It may seem like a small place, or it may seem like a bigger place, but God sees exactly where you are serving Him. You may think, well, this is just a little thing. I don't even know that anyone would notice if I didn't do what I do, is this ministry that I do. But don't forget, God knows you're doing it. He's interested in you doing it. Just like He was interested in these people building their piece of the wall. Who would like to work near the dung gate? Wow, what an exciting place to work. Probably not. Didn't smell too good probably there either. But God knew where they were. He knew exactly where they were serving and what they were doing. He noticed things that were sanctified for Him, it says in verse number 1. Things that were set apart for Him. He knew where people were serving and what they were doing as they served Him. Sometimes we think, well, compared to what someone else does, what I do really doesn't have much impact. You know, that's not the point. We're not to be comparing ourselves with what somebody else does. We're to just be faithful in what God has called us to do and what God has given us to do. Others may not notice what you're doing. Others may think you're crazy for what you're doing. But God notices what you're doing. And He honors that which is being done for Him. He notices the specifics of the work that are accomplished for Him. Look at it in verse number 3 for an example. The fish gate did the sons of Hassanah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. He said, hey, they weren't just building the walls. They were putting beams in. They were putting locks on the gates. They were doing all these other things. God noticed exactly what they were accomplishing for Him. And so others throughout the chapter, as we've already read it and looked at it. You know, God sees the work that you are accomplishing for Him, even if you feel like you're not getting anywhere. And nobody notices. God sees it being done. Verse number 5, we find that there were some who, it says, they put not their necks to the work of their Lord. They said, we're not getting involved in this. Nuh-uh. God saw that too. Sad, wasn't it, that they were there. Maybe they were there, standing there, trying to look busy, but they didn't put their hand to the job. They didn't put their effort into the work. And God's recorded that. I wonder if later on they said, oh man, why didn't we get involved? Now it's forever written down that we wouldn't do the job. I'm sure there were some regrets. But we see that God notices where people were. He noticed what they did and He noticed how they worked for Him. Because it says in verse number 20, it says, after him Barak the son of Zabai earnestly repaired the other piece, from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib the high priest. He earnestly did it. God noticed the type of work that they did, the energy level that was put into this. And this particular person was noted as doing it earnestly. He really put his heart into this. He really worked at this intensely. What a testimony to this man's work ethic. Again, God noticed it. God recorded it. And He has it for us as a reminder that He sees what we're doing and He sees the energy level that we're putting into things for Him. What a blessing it is to see that God knows and God cares. So again, whether it's noticed by other people or not, God knows our labors for Him. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. You may work in the middle of the wall, as it were. It's just the middle of the wall. I mean, people probably saw who worked at either end, but who saw who was working in the middle? You think, nobody notices me working along here in the middle of this wall. I'm not, you know, the beginning or the end. I'm just working along somewhere in the middle here. But God notices. God knows. God knows where we are serving for Him. See, there are some people that Jesus spoke about who did things to be seen of men, and then men patted them on the back, and Jesus said, they've got their reward. But Jesus said, don't be like that. Just work away what I've given you to do. Do it sincerely from your heart, and your Father in heaven will see it. And it really doesn't matter who else sees it, who else takes note of it. He will see it, and He will reward accordingly. Sad, really, isn't it, that some of those that Jesus spoke about, Jesus said they've got their reward. There's nothing more coming to them for what they've done. Because they've had the reward. It was the pat on the back and the praise of man. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 reminds us that we are laboring together with God. We are building on the foundation which God has given to us. And at the judgment seat of Christ will be a day a reckoning. Some will receive reward and others will suffer loss. But for those who labor for the Lord, He says in 1 Corinthians 15, your labor is not in vain. You will receive reward for that labor for the Lord. I love Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. Let's just close by looking at this verse here. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. It's a very fitting conclusion to this thought about God seeing our labors and knowing our labors. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. God notices what we're doing. He recognizes what we are doing. Nehemiah chapter 3 is a chapter about laboring together for God. God has a plan to get the job done. He has an organized plan. The Bible says that God is a God of order, and he has a plan to get the job done. You know, his work involves every believer. He doesn't want any sitting on the sidelines and saying, "Well, there's nothing I can do." No, his work involves all of us. And he says, "I know what you do for me. I see it, and one day I'll reward you for it." And so may God help us to labor together for him here. Praise God, we can begin at the sheep gate, as it were, the place where, remember, Jesus Christ died for us. And that's where it starts, isn't it? Our labor for God. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. May God help us to labor together for him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this time, and thank you for this portion of Scripture. Lord, a chapter which, again, at first glance, seems to be just full of names and occupations of people we don't know. But Lord, thank you for the lessons that we can learn from your word. And no doubt there's many more lessons could be learned from this chapter as well. Lord, I pray you'd help us to realize that there is a job to do. For us, it's not rebuilding the wall in the same sense it was for them. But Lord, the job that you have for us to do involves all of us working together. We may be working on a different part of the wall, as it were. But Lord, we are to work together for you to get the job done. And Lord, I'm thankful that you've recorded this chapter for us to show us that you notice work that is done for you. And perhaps many other people don't notice. But Lord, we thank you that you do notice, and I pray that we would so labor, not to be seen of men, but to be seen of you, to honor you, to praise you, and to glorify your name for your many blessings that you poured out upon us. And so Lord, I pray you speak to us even as we sing our hymn of invitation tonight. Perhaps we need to come and talk to you about some of the labor that you've given us to do to get a greater vision of the labor that we need to do to get more involved. Or Lord, maybe just to ponder the message tonight and thank you for what you have called us to do, and that we would labor together for you. So speak to us, we pray, each one. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.